There are a number of things about the Christian life which are difficult. Following Jesus, acting like Jesus, being kind like Jesus, and then, of course, there is this whole taking up our cross and following Jesus. But I think there are two which top the list for the hardest things that we experience towards which to apply a Christian faith in our life. One of those is dealing with suffering and loss. You know, and I get it why some even leave the faith, because they cannot reconcile a loving God with bad things happening, especially those happening to good people. But God knows. And that's why God gave us his Son, to suffer for us and with us, so that our suffering would have meaning. But that's not today's hard, difficult task. Today we have what I consider the other hardest issue to deal with as a Christian, and that's forgiveness. Sooner or later, everyone has been hurt in some way that forgiving the person or people or the organization who have hurt us is very hard. Sooner or later, everyone has been hurt so badly that we carry around with us scars or even open wounds in our hearts and souls, possibly even our bodies, so deeply that it affects our relationships and our ability to live free and joy-filled lives. Forgiveness is one of the most radical teachings of Christ. A husband of 5 years was always amazed at how his wife never seemed to hold anger against him, always forgiving his little transgressions during their conflicts. He had difficulty with that same thing. One day he asked her secret. After about 5 years of marriage, she said that when she was frustrated with him and tempted to be angry, she just went in the bathroom, closed the door, and cleaned the toilet. He asked her how that, cleaning the toilet. I've noticed that the toilet's always really clean, but how does that help? And she answered, "Well, I use your toothbrush." There are several ways that people respond to the demand of forgiveness. We might say, "I can forgive, but I can never forget." My grandmother used to say that. And usually that means that it's not really forgiveness. Another way is to say, "Well, I can forget, but I can never forgive." And that, in a way, may be just simply suppressing the hurt that we experience. Another way would be to simply just give into it. "I will always remember what you did to me." And that's, there's this ongoing desire for revenge. And a person might go the opposite way and say, "Well, you know, time heals all wounds." And that perhaps may be a denial of the hurt and is suppressed, and it can come out in other ways. But God says that when we ask for forgiveness for our sins, he says, "I will remember their sins no more when they turn to me." One sibling said to another at the sign of peace during the funeral of their mother, "I never want to see you again." And so we see how deeply this can run. And maybe we're all tempted in some way. And the culture says that, you know, vengeance and that desire not to forgive or to get even runs deep in us. It's in our culture. It's in every single movie. And I've even had to try to wean myself from kind of enjoying those scenes in movies where the bully gets it or where the revenge is exacted. And so we might ask the question, well, if it's that strong and it's in all of us and it's in all of our movies, then does that mean that the world is right, that that's what we should seek? Or is there another way, and that desire for vengeance and that satisfaction when we see it is part of our deep brokenness? Well, the psalmist today says that God does not deal with us according to our sins. However, he does deal with us according to how we hang on to our sins, including our lack of forgiveness. And St. Paul today reminds the church at Rome that all will stand before God and be judged by the one who judges perfectly, not according to human jealousies and human desire for vengeance. Now we come to this absolutely beautiful reading from Sirach. Sirach was also called Ecclesiasticus, as not Ecclesiastes, and so Ecclesiasticus. That was often called that in the early church, which basically means Ecclesiasticus from the word church. And so basically Sirach was the church book, and it was a guide in the early church especially. Forgiveness is perhaps harder than anything else we can do in the moral life. And the writer of Sirach says that anger and wrath, these are abominations. yet a sinner holds on to them. And so this book was written in about 175 BC. It's a collection of wisdom writings. Wrath and anger are hateful, yet the sinner, and an accurate or a deeper translation of the word is that the sinner hugs them tight, hugs that wrath and anger tight, like a pillow, and doesn't want to let it go. That's the meaning. We know that hanging on to old resentments, even hugging them, is destructive towards us. And this deadly anger is a passion for revenge that goes beyond the control of even reason. It's not the desire to set things right, but the desire to hurt and to punish. And this is so important that it is written into the entire text of sacred scripture. Jesus takes it up in the Our Father, what is already in the Word of God throughout. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The heart of the sinner is hanging on to the anger, Sirach says. It is an intention to remain angry and not to forgive. Everyone, you and I know how hard it is to forgive. This is universal. We were just laughing about this before. Laughing, I don't know if that was laughing, but we were noting that we can never place ourselves above this problem, this issue for us. The gravest of sins is to keep that anger, and every single one of us deals with. To forgive and to forget is the divine attribute. What? God forgets? Well, yes, this is how sacred scripture describes it throughout of salvation history. I will remember their sins no more. And so we are called to set aside all hostility, to stop obsessing about vengeance. Peter consults Jesus about the limit of forgiveness. He conveys frustration that people experience when they've forgiven multiple times. When is enough? When do I get to stop? When will God be satisfied? And the answer is, well, never. Don't ever, and don't keep track. Jesus is not saying that we need to let people harm us whenever they want, or that forgiveness frees them from consequences, but he is saying that this is the divine attribute, and that if we want to connect ourselves with the divine, that we need to participate in this way of living, this way of being, this way of the heart. Some rabbis, it tells us, considered three times enough to forgive for the same offense. So Peter probably figures that seven is pretty gracious and charitable. We might say the same. I would. In the ancient world, there was no limit on how much revenge someone could take for a wrong. So Jesus says the opposite. Not seven times, but 77 times. That's essentially an infinity. And so to explain this, Jesus uses a parable, which incorporates an essential infinity. 10,000 talents. Well, one talent is equivalent to 15 years' wages. So if you do the math, it's essentially an infinity. Can you imagine 1,000 credit cards maxed out? And what if the credit card company called you up and said the debt was canceled? On the other hand, there's the servant who owes another servant only 100 denarii, maybe a couple of months' wages. It's a pittance in comparison. But he throws him into prison until he should pay the debt. That was the consequence under the law. That was a legitimate consequence. But the forgiven servant let dark emotions take over, and he demanded from the other servant what he himself had been forgiven many times over. And the translation of the wording is that he was not wanting to forgive that debt. Not wanting to. So it's a condition of the heart. So the first and most important point is to realize how much we have been forgiven. And if we internalize this, if we practice this, if we go to this over and over again, then the infinity of the mercy we are to show others becomes possible, what was previously impossible, because of the infinity of forgiveness which God has given us. If we fail to give mercy to others, we make it impossible for God to forgive us. We prepare ourselves for a hellish existence. A mother had emotionally abused her daughter all the while she grew up, and they did not speak for many years after that until the mother had a stroke and was unable to function or to communicate, and she had no one to care for her. And the daughter, who's telling the story, a real story, began to sit with her mother in spite of her hostility over what she had experienced growing up, this constant emotional abuse. But she did notice that over a period of time, over many hours of sitting with her mother, she started to feel something in her which she could not bring about in herself. She started to be able to forgive her mother, even though her mother could not and maybe even would not ask for forgiveness. But you and I know that some injuries are so deep that it is not even in our power not to feel forgiveness or to forget an offense. Nevertheless, if we remember how much God has forgiven us, if we can just ask God to soften our hearts, even if it takes time, then we can avoid becoming like that unforgiving servant. The heart that offers itself to the Holy Spirit turns injury into compassion and purifies the memory in transforming the hurt into even an intercession, even a desire to pray for another. Most of the hurts we experience are fairly small, aren't they? But if we refuse to forgive the small debts people owe us, we lose God's forgiveness. We make ourselves unable to receive that mercy. Forgiveness is not superficial, but it is from the heart, and we need that transformation of our hearts. Lack of forgiveness runs deep, and it has to be ripped out, and it hurts. It hurts tremendously to have that ripped out of our hearts. Both Sirach and Jesus tie forgiveness very closely to God's forgiveness. How often does God forgive us? Constantly. He comes running after us like the father of the prodigal son. So when we hear Jesus say on a number of occasions that you must forgive those who have hurt and those who with whom you are angry, we'll always be tempted to say, don't ask me that, Jesus. Ask me to pray every day. I'll work at that. Ask me to be kind to others. I think I can do that. Those things are hard enough for me. Ask me anything else, but don't ask me that, to forgive others. I just can't do it. A nun gave little Mary a long talk on sin, prayer, and forgiveness. And when she finished the lesson, she asked little Mary, so what do we have to do before we ask the Lord for forgiveness? And little Mary confidently said, well, we have to sin. So she got part of the lesson. You and I have been forgiven much. It's a gift which God has given us. So we have to give that gift to others. That's the Christian life, and that's the Christian faith. And if we forgive others, God will be able to forgive us. And if we do not, God will give us mercy in the same measure that we are willing to give others. It's a hard lesson, isn't it? Today, you and I are given the task, first to let God into our hearts, and not to keep him in a place where we can just look at him and think of God as just being nice. But God is not nice. God is love. God is more than life. God is that infinite mercy that he offers to us at every point in our lives. Jesus' point is that forgiveness is not about the quantity, the number of times that we extend forgiveness. The lesson is clear. If we hoard God's mercy while showing no mercy to others, we risk forfeiting the effects of God's mercy in our lives. And so our compassion towards others directly influences the mercy we receive from God. The great sign of forgiveness is Jesus on the cross. So we need to spend time perhaps reflecting on that. He did not do this so that we wouldn't have to experience that suffering, but so that we would know it is possible to experience the transformation that he wants for us. And so we might consider this week, take a concrete step, go the extra mile, maybe begin that process, even if someone is not ready to ask for our forgiveness, but to just ask God to soften our hearts slowly, one moment at a time, one little bit at a time. Yesterday, I had the experience. I was at a funeral, so many people were there, and I saw a man who had hurt me, and I had felt that hurt very deeply myself. And I realized yesterday that because I was preparing for today and these reflections, that I still had some work to do. What if we have trouble forgiving ourselves? Well, Peter had hurt Jesus badly, and he felt it deeply, and it took three affirmations of Jesus' love to accept that Jesus really did forgive him. And this three affirmations means that for us, it can be that we need to hear it over and over again over time. Even St. Francis of Assisi called himself the worst sinner in the world. People said to him, well, you're not, you're a saintly man. He said, you don't know me from the inside. And in order to feel the guilt that leads us to forgiveness, we have to have a heart that knows that it is done wrong. Forgiveness is the most striking manifestation of God's love. It is the ultimate distinction. Even the Catechism says it is not in our power to forgive an offense, but the heart that offers itself to the Holy Spirit turns injury into compassion and purifies the memory in transforming the hurt into intercession. So I don't really have a message that's different. It's the same message. I listened to many different reflections and commentaries on this, and the message is all the same, that we just have to walk that path, you and I. So let's commit ourselves to doing that today. And as we experience the Eucharist, realize that as Jesus gave himself totally to us, God gave himself totally to us, what he's asking us to do today is just have a desire, a heart that desires and wants to follow him into that place where we know that we are just not capable of receiving that grace, but that God will give it to us anyway, if we ask for it.